There was a king in Israel, 2 Chronicles and chapter 12. As we come for this conference, you need to realize why we do what we do. In 2 Chronicles chapter 12. In verse 9, it says that, so Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord. And the treasures of the king's house, he took all. He carried away also the shields of gold which Solomon had made. Then look at verse 10. Instead of which Rehoboam made shields of brass and committed them to the hands of the chief of the guard and kept the entrance of the king's house. Notice what he did. He replaced gold with brass. That's what he did. That is, he decided to go for whatever will work. When the day and age where people just want anything that works, he left gold. And the truth is, gold and silver, or better still, and brass in this instance, they will look alike. I believe brass is from alloyed metals, am I right? They will look alike. They will look like this is it. And you go for whatever will work. There are many not waiting on God, not waiting on His power, not waiting on His Spirit. And they want all sort of growth in their ministries, all sort of growth in their lives. And they will rather than have gold, they will have brass. Brass will shine to the world. Brass will pretend it's real. Brass will look like it's real. But brass will never stand the test of time. Brass will never be gold. And there are many today who will replace the will of God, the power of God, with anything that will work. Anything that the world will applaud. Anything that people will say, oh, that's good, that's it, he's doing fine. And so, you have all sorts of things that people do. I met a young man, and I saw he was about to do a program. And he was on the social media virtually every 2 hours talking about the program, doing all sorts of pictures. I said, young man, what are you relying upon here? You are relying upon the mold that Coca-Cola uses? You are relying upon the mold that politicians use? You are relying upon the mold that every other person uses. The time you are spending on this, why not take time to pray? Are you praying? Are you praying and waiting on the Lord to know His plans and purposes for the program you are organizing? Or did He ask you to organize it at all? You find people under pressure and they'll put up a very good media team, a very good promo team, a very good music team, a very good this one team and that one team. But who is doing the praying? Who is doing the praying? Who is making power available? Good, you guys are making the media shots available. You are making everything available. For who is making the power available? Hear me very well. Media can impress, but it doesn't change lives. You can get good music and impress. You can have people excited. People can laugh and they can even cry in your meetings. But if it's not power, it's not power. You can have people excited. You can have them. They can flock to your arena. They can come for your church meetings. But if it's not power, it's not power. It's not power. Hear me. There is no other power in ministry outside prayer power. There's no other power in the work of the ministry outside prayer power. That's why the apostles knew it. We can sort out the food needs. We can take care of the widows who are neglected. But they said, we will not leave the word of God and set tables. Choose from among yourselves seven honest men, full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, whom we may pray, whom we appoint about this business. But we will give ourselves once in a week, once in a year. No, we'll give ourselves continually to prayer, to the ministry of the word. A ministry not built on prayer is built on falsehood. I say without apologies, God will trust a man who prays than a man who can quote scriptures. God will trust a man who prays than a man who can preach. Listen carefully. Though I know, if truly you know the word, if truly you know his name, if truly you know his gospel, you will be praying. A man that doesn't pray is trusting some other thing but the power of God. A man that is not praying is trusting his intelligence, he's trusting his wits, he's trusting his connections. He is not looking at the power of God. Hear me. When you don't pray, you are not any different from an atheist. Atheists can think. Atheists can strategize. Atheists can do PR. Atheists can entertain. Atheists can make you laugh. Atheists can make you cry. But atheists can change your life. So when you don't pray, you start to hick out all sorts of things. You start to want to follow people's brand. How do they do their flyers? How do they do their backdrops? What time of service do they hold? Where is their venue like? What kind of surrounding they have in their church? Why do people keep coming to this church? Why they attend that fellowship? You won't care anymore because you want anything, even if it's not gold. 994, I'll never forget. I just watched a program by R.W. Shamba. Listening to Rick Godwin, Catching the Spirit of a Leader. One of the things that changed my life forever. Rick Godwin, Catching the Spirit of a Leader. And I watched R.W. Shamba when it is night. The Lord said to me loud and clear, never follow the results of people that I use. Follow their labor. Never forget it. That's for me. And I've used that as a parameter to train others. Follow their labor. How do they pray? Follow their sacrifices. You can have brass and it's not gold. And then you begin to resort to things. Network. How many ministers do I need? How many platforms do I need? I need to know this person, to know that person, and know that person. And that becomes your pursuit. Because when you drop prayer, you begin to pursue men. Prayer pursues God. Gimmicks pursue men. Prayer pursues the will of God. Your mind, your intelligence wants to please men. Always know when it's no longer prayer power. You will know. When you have to do so much thinking in the work of the ministry, you are no longer praying. When you have to do so much phone calls, so much talking to people, so much asking this and asking that, you are no longer praying. I'm going to ask you this question in 2017. Have you spent a whole day praying in 2017? If you have never, it's time to do it in this conference. Is that clear? Is that clear? A whole day in 2017. Have you spent it praying? But I'm sure you spent 2017 a whole day doing other things. You can't say you are a minister of the gospel if you cannot give your best times to prayer. There's so much out there that is brass, it's not gold. And shamefully, even from people that are so-called word people. so-called word people. You must be a person of prayer. The man God uses is a man of prayer. The man God uses is that man and that woman of prayer. The question is this. Why so much force about prayer? What does prayer do? What does it do? What does prayer do? I grew up as a young Christian, or better still, as a young boy who grew up in, as it were, a Christian home, and we will pray and we'll ask to pray for something that God will give to us. You pray for God to give you this. You pray for God to give you that. You pray for God to give you. So I grew up with a transaction mentality about prayer. It's like a demand and supply. And things didn't get better getting born again because it looked alike. You ask God for this. You ask God for that. So we'll ask ourselves tonight, what does prayer do? I'll never forget how one day, my father, we used to have our encounters, you know, when he used to persecute me a lot then. And one day, you know, I'd gone out to pray as usual, because usually I'll leave the house sometimes around 11 p.m. and I'll come back around 5 a.m. I just go into the bush then. So one day I was coming back, as I think somehow he had checked out to know I wasn't at home. So he stood at the gate. I didn't know he was there because I normally, you know, put the gates in the proper order. So as I was coming in, he said, "Where are you coming from?" I mean, I almost lost all the boldness I got in prayer because I was surprised. So he said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I went to pray." And he asked me a question that got me thinking. He said, "How old are you? Do you have problems that much? You don't have problems. You are not sick. Why would you spend hours?" He said, tell me, what were you saying? He said, "And I know you are a clean boy. How many sins did you commit?" Now, it looks funny. But really, is that not the mindset of many who pray today? And I kind of saw the first time, in a while, I stopped and I said, it made sense. Because truly, none of the things he highlighted was why I went out at 11 o'clock and I'm come back 5 a.m. It was actually to 7, or to 6. I said, none. But many are yet to answer. What does prayer do? What does it do? Maybe the closest person we need to watch will be Jesus. We all know, if you're a Christian, you know Jesus is God who became a man. Am I making sense? John 1:14. So if there's a model, it has to be the man Christ Jesus. He's the word that became flesh and dwelt amongst us. John's Gospel chapter 1 verse 14 tells us he came to this world as a man. Philippians 2 from verse 6 to 8 says he took the form of a man. He became a servant. Let's close him up and see a couple of things about him. Luke helps us. Luke chapter 3 in verse 21. He's going to be baptized by John. He's going to be baptized by John. And Jesus is praying. I'm going to ask you a question. Is he praying for John to baptize him? No. Maybe he's praying for the water to be clean. No. Why was he praying? Is he praying so that he won't drown? He was praying while John baptized. As he was praying, the Bible says the heaven was open. That is, The realm of the spirit, as it were, was opened up to John. He was praying. So, you know, have you remember that old song? Prayer is the key. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the master key. Jesus started with prayer and ended. Prayer is the man. It looks like a children's church song, but really it's not. We can see this was the very beginning of his ministry. And he is praying. What else? The very next chapter. After he was baptized by John, Luke chapter 4 tells us that he, from Jordan, he was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, chapter 4 verse 2. He was now tempted of the devil. Seriously? Now, he was there 40 days and he was without food. Some will say no, he wasn't praying. Now, if you follow through, we're going to see now how Jesus will go to the wilderness, you can't doubt that he was praying. Imagine, set now 40 days. Hey, 40 days. As he is, so are we. How about convenience, right? As he is, so are we in this world. Time to pray like Jesus. No. I'm in the finished work. You can see you are finished. He's in there 40 days. Don't forget again, he's the word that became flesh. God who became a man. In the next chapter. Now, before we go there, go to chapter 6. Chapter 5 is the next chapter. Watch this. In verse 15, so much the more went out of fame abroad of him. So say fame. People now know you. And great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. It was now on television. Sick were getting healed. Look at what he did. Verse 16. What did he do? He withdrew himself to the wilderness and prayed. Hold on. Look at it again. He withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Wilderness means a secluded area where people don't live. Don't think he's talking about Sahara Desert. And prayed. What better time should you share your testimonies? What better time should you write a book? What better time should you be on air? That was when he withdrew. The most foolish thing you can do in your ministry is to build it upon fame. It's the most foolish thing you can do. Hear me, young men, young women, if you're a young minister. If fame still gets into your head, know that you are still a baby Christian. Did you hear me? Anybody can like you. Anybody can fan you. Know that you are still a baby Christian. 1996, I'll never forget. I was already teaching in many places. How many people follow me? And something happened. I will never, this is personal to me, I'll just share with you. And I was so shaken by with things that happened. And I said, Lord, why was I this shaken? He said, it shows you that you are still weak. I couldn't say it to the people that were following me. You are still weak. Because if you fall, if your strength shall fail in the day of adversity, it means you are always what? Weak. Your strength was small. Small. I said, what? And that will expose you to you. I always tell you, if people tell you lies, don't lie to yourself. You didn't hear what I'm saying? He withdrew and prayed. Do you know how to withdraw? This is God. Do you know how to withdraw? Do you know how to keep off limelight and pray? Do you know how to take the heat of the shine? Or the shine of the heat? Do you know how to take your time away? And just go and pray. He withdrew and he prayed. Listen well to this. In chapter 6, you know, at this point, this is chapter 4, chapter 5, miracles and signs. Chapter 6, verse 12. It came to pass in those days, as he went out into where? A mountain to pray. And continued for how long? All night in prayer to God. The Jews all night is 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. In prayer to God. Did you notice that so far we have not been told his prayer point? The moment you reduce prayer to just prayer points, you lose the reason for praying at all. Don't reduce prayer to prayer points. He prayed. Then what did he do next? Verse 13. When it was day, he called his disciples and then chose his apostles. And chose his apostles. He didn't build a structure on planning. He built it on prayer. It's good to plan, but it's better to pray. Hear this. Chapter 13, he chose. In chapter 9, he now takes the same people. Listen, chapter 9 verse 28. It was so consistent. The Bible says it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings. He took Peter, James and John and James, and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered and his raiment was as white and glistening. The Mount of Transfiguration didn't happen because Jesus just went there to be singing songs or a keyboard was playing. You can see he went again to a mountain apart to pray. Why? Why is he praying? He's praying so much that you feel, why is he praying this way? And he says he prays all night. In chapter 22, verse 41 to 46, Luke captures another fact for us. He was withdrawn from them for a stone cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove the cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. So I say agony. More earnestly. Look at this now. And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Verse 45. When he rose up from prayer, was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. Let me ask you this. He could never have been praying for things. Never. He could never have been praying for things. Sweat fell to the ground as blood. Jesus, Earlier on, he said to Peter in verse 31, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you, that faith shall fail not. And when you are converted, watch this now, he says, strengthen thy brethren. Jesus never sought for a man's counsel all through his ministry. He never asked someone for advice. He never asked someone to tell him what to do. He spent a good quality number of hours and days praying. Hear this. The danger of understanding prayer as a transaction is that you will not know prayer at all. Hear me. Prayer does what nothing else can do. Prayer does what nothing else can do. Same, I say it again. Prayer does what nothing else can do. Prayer does what a man cannot do. A man can credit your account. A man can help you with a job. Yes. You hear me well? There are things people are building prayer on, or they are tying prayer to, that people that don't know God get. That cannot be the power of prayer. We cannot reduce prayer to getting things that men get without prayer. We can't reduce prayer to that. We can't reduce prayer to what a man could have done. To startle you that you will go through the epistles and you will almost find no verse of scripture for praying for things. Despite being loud about prayer, you will hardly find anywhere where you will see praying to get something. A car, a house, a jet, or anything at all. So what does prayer do? Why was Jesus praying? Why? The one that shall get your attention is on the very last day, the Garden of Gethsemane. What could he have been praying about? Why would you be praying at the end? You know, praying at the beginning makes sense. What about praying at the end? Who's following what I'm saying tonight? Praying at the beginning makes sense. You know, as we go, I mean, if you enter a bus now, as we do when you enter public transport, and they begin to pray at the bus stop, everybody will close their eyes, particularly if it's a dangerous road. You will never see the same intensity of prayer when you get to your destination. If as you are thanking God for safe arrive, everybody's getting, hey, praise the Lord, go the way. But this man got to the end of the destination. It appeared he now prayed more. So, brethren, what exactly does prayer do? If we reduce prayer to getting things, things that anyone can have. Jesus said, all these things that you seek, the Gentiles seek after. They don't just seek after it, they get it. Who's following what I'm saying? He said, your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. If you are going to be materialistic, you say, he said, seek it for the kingdom. And so when you seek the kingdom, those things will now be added to you. So what have you sought eventually? Twisting the Bible upside down. He's saying don't seek them at all. have just one desire. Say one desire. What does prayer do? He went further. He said the birds of the air, they don't walk. Your heavenly Father feeds them. They don't even pray. You can add, they don't pray too. The lilies of the field, said they are clothed better than Solomon in all his glory. They don't do anything. So without prayer, the bread is fed. Without prayer, the leaves of the field are clothed. So what does prayer do? What does it do? What does prayer do? The danger of praying for things is when we substitute brass for gold. It looks cool. It looks okay. But then, is that why we pray? Is that what prayer does? In the book of Acts, after Jesus told them, listen carefully. He said, tell in the city of Jerusalem, Luke 2, verse 49, till you be endued with power. Acts 1, 8, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And Acts 1, 14, they were all together at 120 and continued steadfastly in prayer and supplication. I thought if Jesus says something, just give thanks to him. The fact that he gave you something to expect or something to do is enough reason why you must start praying. It's enough reason why you must start praying. And those four, if you don't know what they were doing on the day of Pentecost, think they just opened their mouth and they closed their eyes at 6 a.m. No. You are seeing in chapter 1 verse 14 that they continued in supplication. So by the time other people were added to the church, Acts 2:42, they also did what? Continued. The church has no reason not to keep praying. The church has no reason not to keep praying. I will never forget the words of John Wesley. I read it first in the book, Art of Intercession, then by Kenneth E. Hagin, when he said, God seems to be able to do nothing in the earth except we pray. Except we pray. And so they were praying. Acts 3:1, Peter and John were going to the temple in the hour of prayer. The church had hours of prayer. Acts 4, as soon as they threatened them, they went back again. And met each other, verse 22 and 23, and they began to pray. They lifted up their voice in one accord. Acts 4. They didn't go on Facebook. We won't take this. This is nonsense. How can they be doing to the church of God? They don't do that to the Muslim body. They are not doing that to the Muslim body. They are trying to Islamize Nigeria. Are you okay? No, that cannot happen. That cannot happen. Christian lives matter. When you have lost it, you start to talk like that. We are not human rights activists. We are prayer activists. We are prayer activists. Hear this well. And they were praying. Remember we said earlier, Acts 6. We will not leave the word of God to serve tables. We give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. In Acts 10, and listen carefully to this, verse 8 and 9 tells us that Peter was hungry. Don't say hungry. Say hungry. He was hungry. He was hungry. And he went to the rooftop to pray. That's strange. When you are hungry, you go to the rooftop maybe to catch a bird and kill. He goes to the rooftop to pray. That shows you prayer subsumes my appetite. it puts it under check. Let me ask you a question. What if at that point, do you know, it is therefore not difficult to know why he was able to align himself, we'll get to that now, the will of God about Cornelius. Look at what his appetite would have cost him. He said, I'm too hungry. And he took a bike to Mr. Biggs. It's not funny. He said, I'm a human being. I'm human. When you're hungry, you go and eat. As though God responds to your appetite. That's what I want now. He left behind his appetite. He had his will. And that action on its own has become a historical thing. Imagine. He decided, you can have strange friends as your uncle. Someone just texts you, hi, how you doing? Or WhatsApp. How are you doing now? Falling now. Guys are doing eating out today. We'll go and eat out. And that's how you eat out your entire ministry. So what does prayer do? Above anything I want, prayer does what God wants. Prayer is to carry out the will of God in the earth. What does prayer do? Prayer carries out the will of God in our lives. That is why, see, if you are still looking for prayer points, you are yet to have a prayer life. Prayer itself is the prayer point. It is the prayer point itself. That's why you won't find any stressful reason why Jesus prayed. He went to pray. And he prayed consistently. Let me tell you the danger of praying for things as a primary reason why you pray. You will never know the importance of prayer. Hear this. If prayer was about things and getting things, you will never be told to pray always. Because when I get it, I've gotten it. When I get it, I've gotten it. Are you following my point? You will not be told prayer without ceasing. Do you know he didn't tell you what to pray for without ceasing? 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It just says prayer without ceasing. Romans 12:12. Continue in prayer. Instant in prayer. What prayer does, nobody can do it. What prayer does, no man can achieve it. No man can put you in the will of God. No man can obey God for you. No man can do the will of God for you. That's what prayer does for you. When you stop praying, you stop obeying God. When you stop praying, you stop doing the will of God. When you stop, you can be getting human results. You can be entertaining your crowd. But when you stop praying, you stop doing what God wants. What prayer achieves is what a man cannot do. It's what God does. What does prayer do? To pray continually. This is what drove Jesus to pray, even at the very end. At the very end. So prayer therefore becomes the way I overcome human desires. The way I deal with my appetites. The way I deal with what I want in contrary to what he wants. The moment I am why I am praying, I don't understand the ministry of prayer. So prayer is more than things. Prayer is about the will of God in the earth. See Paul, 1 Corinthians 14:14. He says, if I pray in tongues, My spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Did he tell you what he was praying about? Huh?
No.
I thank my God. I speak better still. I pray in tongues more than you all. Did he tell you what he was praying about?
No.
Paul, obviously, was the most prayerful man, or one of the most prayerful men in that era. He wasn't the wealthiest. He wasn't the one that had the least troubles. That was obvious. Prayer many times invites trouble. Because now, you are aligning yourself with the will of God. So, but we are praying. That is why it happened. Prayer upsets your own plans. Prayer upturns your own plans. That's what it does. That's why Paul will say to Timothy, I pray for you ceaselessly night and day. 2 Timothy 1:3. Night and day. You will have wondered, what are you praying for? A man you said understood the gospel than everybody. It shows you that prayer is not just about starting. Hear this. Whether things are good or bad does not determine your prayer life. In fact, the moment things are good, you pray more. Hear this. Ministry begins. You are given to prayer. Ministries start making impact. Lives start getting changed. You will now be given to prayer the more. Because to stay in the will of God, man has to pray. Prayer begins the work. Prayer sustains the work. Prayer continues the work. And hear this. Prayer ends the work. There's no time you don't have to increase your intensity of prayer. A man can stay in the will of God to the degree that he prays. We have been taught rubbish. Pray until something happens. There's nothing like that in scripture. It says pray always. Always. Don't say always. Without ceasing. Ceasing. You won't stop. So, while it is happening, keep praying. What does not happen? Huh? What is happening? What does not happen? No circumstance determines the temperature of your prayer. The moment you start getting excited at results and stop praying, you have been carried away from prayer. Prayer is such that a man must keep praying. Prayer is the intelligence of ministry. Prayer is the brain box of the car of ministry. Prayer is how we navigate the course of ministry. It's in prayer that we drop every appetite and every desire that is not found in the Spirit of God. You begin to pray out what he wants. Because prayer is about his will in the earth. Prayer keeps me in the will of God. Prayer keeps me in the purpose of God. Prayer is not just a reaction, it's a proaction. Something I do all the time. I must not always have a reason to pray. Just the fact that in prayer, I pray out the will of God is sufficient to pray. The moment prayer becomes a reaction, that you are now reacting to natural circumstances. I have trained myself that way. There are certain instances where I will have storms in the natural. And I will almost be drawn to pray about it. I said, no. No. This thing happening to me will not determine my prayer life. And I will not pray about it at all. I will continue what I was praying about. The moment prayer is built on your appetite and your circumstance, you are losing the flavor or prayer. Because prayer too. Prayer keeps you in the will of God. The will of God includes persecution. The will of God includes pressures from men. The will of God includes opposition to the gospel. The will of God includes the winning of souls into the kingdom of God. The will of God includes teaching of the gospel. The will of God includes you meeting people to do the will of God for their lives. Prayer has more you pray for than yourself. And prayer does more to you than any other person. That's why Jesus was found praying. And we almost could not gather what he was praying about. So brothers and sisters, what does prayer do? Prayer changes me. Prayer puts me in the right perspective. Prayer changes me. As I begin to labor and pray for the things that are in the will of God, it begins to set my life and my mind aright into his purpose and plan. Have you observed that when you pray long in tongues, you don't have to take this, you start to see other things outside your own desires. Who has observed that? It's like somebody is changing what you want. Who has observed that? So, like somebody is changing what you want, then things start getting a new perspective. When you pray in tongues, when you pray in the Spirit. In this conference, I believe God, many will discover, so much more will rediscover a true prayer life. And see what prayer really does. And as you go back to your churches and ministries, you will start having genuine people who pray. Not people who are idol worshippers in the place of prayer. Those who hold the will and purpose of God like this. And they pray it out. As they keep praying like that, their own lives change. The way they see the church changes. The way they see the body of Christ changes. The way they see the world changes. The way they see natural things changes. Because if you leave the room of prayer, and the next thing on your mind is a 2018 model of a car, you did not pray. Those things will vanish. You just had contact with eternal verities. Your next appetite cannot be temporary. It can be. It can be. It's when you have not found prayer that there's no boldness in ministry. There's no boldness. And then you start to do guesswork here and there because you haven't found prayer. Prayer inspires surrender. It inspires sacrifice. It inspires submission. Because that's what prayer is about. And today, you shall be praying. Praying about every other thing but ourselves. It's good we pray the Pauline prayers. But you know, Paul never said, pray these prayers for yourself. He was the one praying it for others. After praying it for others, he now said, in that like fashion, pray always with all prayers for all saints. He never asks you to pray those prayers for yourself. Pray for yourself, I didn't say you should not. But what prayer does goes beyond what I want. It's what supplies the needs of others. And I believe in this conference, we'll discover that. So leave these prayer meetings between now and the end of this conference. Your ministry will be rid of every form of selfishness, every form of self-willingness, every form of you know, your own desires. You will now begin to see clearly. You begin to see clearly. You begin to know clearly. You begin to set your heart aright. Because what prayer does for you is now setting you aligned. You are aligning yourself with the will of God. And those thoughts, those things you have written down, the things you have even done emails over, the things that you have written letters on, you with your hands tear them. Because prayer will change your direction. I should stay in that place of prayer. And you are not asking for car. You're not asking for phone, house, husband, child, children, grandchildren. You're staying in the will of God. People that don't pray have children. People that don't pray have house. But people that don't pray don't change nations. They can't bring salvation. They can't bring revelation knowledge. They can't inspire men for ministry. And this is what prayer does. People that don't pray, they can't make men obey God. That's what prayer does for you. Anything anyone can do without prayer is not what prayer does. Let us stay in the place of prayer. So, we're going to pray in this fashion. As we do every year, we roll out a prayer pattern. How do we pray?